Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a Gagillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Live Nation presents Concert Week.
From now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 summer shows.
That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage,
Alanis Morissette,
Cage the Elephant,
Celeste Barber,
Dierks Bentley,
Janet Jackson,
Meghan Trainor,
Peso Pluma,
Sean Paul,
Sum 41, and many more.
For way less.
Grab your tickets now through May 14th to see all of the artists you love all summer long.
For just $25 each.
Visit LiveNation.com/concertweek to buy now.
That's LiveNation.com/concertweek to buy now.
Out of context, this might sound a little bit weird, but Nazi magic has done a lot for this show.
It really has. The Ananerva. Is it the Ananerva?
Maybe it's a different thing.
It's
for a couple of non-native German speakers, you guys did a pretty fine job there.
That's Ananerva.
And there you go.
Oh, God. We're canceled. Well, listen to this episode in remembrance of us, a show that was once on the air talking about Nazi magic.
No, it's interesting. It's an interesting episode.
Alakazam.
From UFOs to ghosts and government cover-ups, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. My name is Matt.
And I'm Ben.
And I just got back from a vacation? Is that what they call those things? Mm-hmm. Where you're gone for a week?
Mm-hmm. It was consensually.
Yes. Oh, man, it was crazy. It was the best thing I've done in a long time, besides the show, which, you know, is the best thing I've got going for me. I don't know about you.
Oh, yeah, I got nothing going on.
Oh, yeah? Zero?
Except for this, yeah.
Well, and my beautiful wife.
Yeah.
That's another thing. Sorry, ladies.
Oh, yeah, Diana is definitely the business suit. What'd you do on your vacation?
I was on a ship, and it was incredible. It's the first time I've been in the water to the point where I can see no land around me whatsoever on the top of a ship. It was incredible.
Just open ocean, huh?
Yeah, it gave me lots of creative ideas just about the earth and that old saying, as above, so below, that feeling that you get when you see the horizon line of just water beneath you and just air above you.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty awesome.
As above, so below. It's funny that you say that because that's a little bit occultish, isn't it?
It's a little bit occultish. And what were we talking about this week? Some group of people that are really well known. It was a political movement. Man, I can't put my finger on it.
Because when you said some group of people that were really well-known, my first guess was KISS.
They are some of the most well-known people in the world. That's true.
Isn't that weird?
That is true. But these guys, they had some kind of symbol. Oh, yeah, that's right. Nazis. And magic.
Oh, Nazis. I was way off.
Yeah.
Well, both groups, in my defense, have a love of uniforms.
That's true.
Sorry, no offense, Kiss. I'm kidding.
A little less face paint in the Nazis.
Yeah, arguably. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Matt and I are here today, as always, with our super producer, Noel Brown. Today's question, Matt, is, did the Nationalist Socialist Party, or Nazis, really try to practice magic?
Yes, they tried. They tried to practice magic. They really did. They had a lot of interest in the occult.
Okay, all right. Well, that's our podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, and that's it. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. Find us on Facebook. Oh, no, we got more?
Yeah, we've got a little more, right? I mean, because this is something that's such a popular idea, right? Because we hear about it all the time. And, you know, we can talk about some examples of that, but it's important for us to remember that when we say the Nazis really did try to practice magic or have occult interest, we're talking about members of the Nazi Party, not necessarily everybody.
Not boots on the ground guys. Perhaps a few of them, but we cannot make a huge generalization like that. They're key members.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, who were interested in the occult. We can see this, the fascination in culture, like new culture about Nazis. If you look at video games, Wolfenstein series, the Call of Duty series. The zombies, Nazi zombies all over the place. My buddy Charlie loves that. Even movies. You mentioned Dead Snow.
Oh, man, Dead Snow.
There's the one about the Mars or something.
Iron Sky. They have a moon base.
Yes.
That's weird because in that film, it talks about another prevalent theory about Nazis, which is the discovery of some alternative form of energy, which you and I have looked at a lot. We
found that these are not, they're not mutually exclusive. The idea of the occult and magic and this form of energy.
Right.
They seem to be connected.
Oh, yeah.
And that's because of, sorry, man, I keep cutting you off.
No, please.
That has to do with this thing called the Thule or Thule Society, or the Vril Society as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a weird thing that you and I discovered as, well, let's be honest, Matt. When we do our show, Stuff They Don't Want You to Know, there are certain groups or individuals that will always have thousands of at times contradictory theories surrounding them. You know, there are international bankers and newsflash, a few of those theories are distressingly and disturbingly true.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And there are groups that are amorphous and aren't necessarily a certain people, like the New World Order or even the Illuminati, which are a lot of different people are associated with that term.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got groups like the Nazis.
Right. Yeah. The Nazis are a group that we continually return to. We've done Nazis and UFOs. We've looked at some questions about whether or not Hitler actually died when he supposedly died, which is still an interesting story. And
that one's up in the air for me still.
Yeah, we're going to have to look into that one. And then the rat lines and all this other stuff. But one thing that we continually return to, as we're saying, is the Nazis. And here's something interesting we found while we were working on our series this week. First, we had our classic video, remixed by Matt, which is, did Nazis practice magic? And we talk about a lot of this stuff, and we found out while we were doing this that occult societies and secret societies were crazy common at the time, you know, the interwar period between World War I, World War II in Germany, and the Thule or Thule Society, as we talked about, was one of the big ones. It started out as the study group for Germanic antiquity. And this was an occult society, and it was also something called a Hulkish group. And that's with a V, but pronounced the German way, right?
And you might be asking yourself, what is Hulkish? It's a movement in Germany that focused on folklore. And you can think of it kind of as a way of romanticizing and idealizing this image of the German people that they had.
Ah, yeah.
A pristine image, almost an iconic image of the German people.
Yeah, that's good. Bucolic, right?
Yes.
And this is an important thing because in the modern age, it's easy for us to think that Adolf Hitler just decided to have crazy racial beliefs or crazy nationalist beliefs or whatever you want to call them. However, the fact of the matter is that these were fairly common in not just Germany, but in Europe for most of the time. And some of those ideas, you know, have a resurgence in Europe today. So this ethno-nationalistic belief says that there is an inherent quality in someone's lineage that determines your behavioral status or your personality or your abilities. So in some ways, this is similar to other belief systems like those in East Asia. Here's looking at you, North Korea, because I've read The Cleanest Race based on some, I read way too much about North Korea. So there is still this same belief in what would ultimately be called ideas of racial purity.
What is The Cleanest Race?
The Cleanest Race is a book by a scholar on North Korea that describes the ultimate aim of propaganda or the narrative created by the North Korean government, which depicts the people of North Korea as a pure, innocent, vulnerable people who are the cleanest and the best people out of the world.
Wow, who are somehow oppressed by
the outside world and must be protected from that world.
Wow.
And that the narrative of that propaganda is surely changing. This was a fairly recently written book, but it's surely changing as more North Korean citizens gain access to outside information.
Holy crap. So let's...
Yeah, sorry.
No, that's awesome. I'm really glad you told me that because I would have no idea. And I think our listeners would... I think we all are happy that you told us what that is.
We'll see.
So anyway, back to the Thule Society or the Thule... I'm just going to say Thule because that's what I've said. So
right on.
Apologies to anybody else listening that wants to correct me. Originally, it was a cover name for an offshoot of a different secret society that I'm going to paraphrase as the German Order of the Holy Grail. And the Thule Society became official in 1918, and you had to sign a document swearing to uphold racial purity.
All right, so you had to be so Aryan, so very Aryan.
So Aryan and continue to be Aryan throughout your days.
No Roma, can't marry into anyone who is, I don't know what... who is from Mongolia or, God forbid, Jewish or anything like that. And again, this was a fairly common idea.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't something that sounded crazy to the average person in Germany at the time. The name Thule or Thule, and I'll say Thule as well, comes from a mystical land called Ultima Thule. According to these Nazi mystics, this was the capital of an ancient place called Hyperborea, which they believed lay somewhere in the north between Greenland and Iceland. And this was the supposed true home of the original founders of civilization. Again, according to this ideology, the Aryans. And before we go on, Matt, I do want to take a moment to thank a listener on YouTube who said that we were making some assumptions by starting out from a place where he said the occult or the Aryans or this lost civilization idea is not real. It is possible because, you know, as you and I found out when we were doing our episodes on lost cities, people just lose entire cities.
And civilizations, it's possible. I guess we have to keep an open mind about it. It's just... improbable, that's all.
Well, we know, yeah, that's a good way to say it. We know that lost civilizations have occurred, do occur, and will occur. We may very well be living in a future lost civilization, right? But the question is their version of a civilization an actual lost civilization? So anyway, like you said, they identified a lot of things. They connected quite a few things. And this Hyperborea that they believed in, this Ultima Thule, this was maybe known by some other names.
Yeah, you can look to Atlantis, as the same kind of place, or even a possible synonym for Hyperborea?
Yeah, Hyperborea and Lemuria.
Yeah, there are all kinds of names for the same kind of mystical place of origin.
Live Nation presents Concert Week.
From now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 summer shows.
That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage,
Alanis Morissette,
Cage the Elephant,
Celeste Barber,
Dierks Bentley,
Janet Jackson,
Meghan Trainor,
Peso Pluma,
Sean Paul,
Sum 41, and many more.
For way less.
Grab your tickets now through May 14th to see all of the artists you love all summer long for just $25 each.
Visit LiveNation.com/concertweek to buy now.
That's LiveNation.com/concertweek to buy now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode is brought to you by Terminix.
Terminix can't help you solve the world's biggest mysteries or take on alien life.
At least not the ones you're thinking of. But they can help take care of pesky invaders in your home.
Like the ants in your kitchen, the roaches under your sink, and the termites in the walls.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
No matter what type of pest it is, they can Terminix it fast with personalized pest care that puts you in control.
Their expertly trained technicians may not know true crime, but they know their local pest pressures.
And with customized plans tailored to your specific situation, you get everything you need to not just get pests out, but keep them out for good.
Between their speedy service, caring technicians, and over 95 years of experience, it's no mystery why they're trusted by homes and businesses everywhere.
So if you have a pest problem, don't stress it. Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com to book online today.
And this society predates what would later become known as the Nazi Party. But they had members of the Nazi Party at their shindigs and soirees, right?
Yeah, some guests of the Thule Society included Nazi officials like Rudolf Hess, you're looking at Dietrich Erhard, but interestingly enough, not Adolf Hitler.
Oh, okay.
It should also be known that the Thule Society officially disbanded in 1920, at least officially.
Officially.
Yeah. One fun fact, Ben, is that the designer of the original swastika that the Nazis used was in fact a Thule member, and his name was Friedrich Krohn.
Ah, okay. So that's pretty interesting because we know that the swastika predates the founding of the Nazi Party. And one interesting story that I read about why the swastika was chosen is because in our video, we talk about how the Thule Society and some of these other groups were inspired by the guy who discovered Troy, a German archaeologist who rediscovered Troy in 1870. And he allegedly found some swastikas there. It's a very old, ancient symbol. And it's also, you know, Native Americans have used the swastika. India has used it, or people in India, not the whole country. But to our big question with this organization, did they do actual occult stuff?
Yes. Again, yes.
Oh, okay. All right. There's no sort of there. There's not.
Again, we're done. So, all right. No. They would at least get together to celebrate pagan holidays like solstice and so on. They'd also taught philosophies based on astrology and interpretations of Freemasonry, of all things.
Oh, okay. All right. I see. And maybe we can do a Freemasonry podcast one day. We've probably got some Freemasons listening in.
We need to get somebody in this room, sit in this chair, and actually talk to us. Maybe we can garble their voice. I don't know who we'll get.
Yeah, let's get a guest. Guys, let us know in our email who we should have as a guest. Let us know on Twitter or Facebook. Here's the next thing. We're talking about organizations in the Nazi Party or around that time that participate in occult things. One of my favorite of these organizations, Matt, which you mentioned earlier, is the Vril Society, or should we say the alleged Vril Society.
Yes.
So what's that, and why do we have to say the alleged Vril Society?
We have to say alleged because no one has officially proven that Vril Society actually existed. There are numerous reports by skeptics and believers alike that there was some kind of secret society operating in Germany that sought to discover some kind of energy that was not known at the time. Some new form of energy.
Or a rediscovered form of energy.
Yes, exactly. And you can check out our Nazi, I think we have it published on our new site. Yeah, we do, on the new YouTube. Check it out. It's about Nazi UFOs. And it's interesting.
Yeah, and it's also on our website, stufftheywantyouknow.com. If you're the kind of person who doesn't want to be on YouTube since they made the G+ move, you know, that's so creepy.
We understand.
Yeah. One G male to rule them all.
Oh, gosh.
And in the darkness bind them, right?
Yeah, and all of this is based on a novel, not all of it, but a lot of it is based on this novel, Vril, The Power of the Coming Race. And that's the idea of, that's why they think the name Vril Society was used.
Okay.
It's a book from 1871. It was a novel by Edward Butler Lytton. And it was originally printed as The Coming Race. And many believed it's an account from a superior subterranean master race, Ben.
Oh. Oh, okay.
And the energy form that they're talking about is, in fact, called Vril, at least according to this novel.
Now, here's where I will be a little bit skeptical. So Edward Bulwer Lytton, his novel there is fiction.
That's true.
He said it was fiction. I'm repeating this. He also, and this is just a neat little historical side note here, he also, I believe, is the winner for the worst opening sentence of a novel in English. It wasn't this novel.
Okay.
It's different, and it's a weird description. You'll have to check it out, or maybe we can bring it to a link on our website. But yes, so this name, according to the stories, inspired this society. But at this point, there's no solid historical evidence for the existence of such a society, although there is some pretty compelling stuff about Nazi experimentation with other forms of energy, right?
I would just like to say that, to me, the Vril Society, if it did exist, would be kind of like a fandom community for this novel.
You know what? That's a really good point.
And how weird is that, if that truly did inspire some of these horrifying things and horrifying practices? It's pretty messed up.
That is strange. Fiction does have such a power.
It does.
That's a really good point, Matt.
Sorry, I didn't mean to get us off the rails.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I started zoning out. You guys, sometimes one of us will make a point that seems phenomenally deep to the other person, and we'll just sort of tune out and think about that. Sorry.
That one other thing, Ben, yeah. Really fast. There is another popular book called The Mourning of the Magicians.
And this is the one that made people think that the Vril Society was real, right?
Yeah, this is from 1960, and it suggested that a secret, quote, Vril Society existed in pre-Nazi Berlin. Mm-hmm. However, again, there's absolutely no historical evidence that that society existed.
You see me getting excited across the table here, right? Yeah, it's not just the coffee. I'm thrilled to mention one of the biggest groups that does have historical evidence behind it, and that is the Annenalb.
The Annenalb, you say?
Yes. The Annenalb.
It is one of the most fun things to say.
It is. We have probably alienated some of our coworkers because Matt and I sit across from each other and there's a wall that divides us. So we will stand up and talk over that wall, or sometimes just say things and not know if the other person's on headphones.
It's
right?
True. It's true. And this week when we've been hopping up and going, oh, Ben, did you see about the Annenalb? Everyone just gets a little uncomfortable, including ourselves.
Right, yeah, because we continue talking in our horrible voices about that. But this is the real Nazi magic department, and it all depends on a guy that you probably remember from some of our earlier works on this, a fellow named Heinrich Himmler.
Yeah, he was born in 1900. What a fun year to be born in. He developed the SS. That's important. He developed the SS, and he oversaw a lot of the work of the Annenalb. He also built extermination camps, and he directed the course, unfortunately, of the Holocaust.
Right. It's important, vital even, for us to remember that despite how some of this might sound to the very skeptical, right, to the people who think magic is silly or absurd, that this was not just some silly, absurd man. He was doing things that were on a large scale and horrific.
He was an intensely serious dude that did some horrible things, and he turned the SS into a racially based secret society. And he even used pagan rituals with this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he sought to supplant Christianity as a practice amongst SS officers, which we talked about a little bit in one of our videos, by taking out Christian holidays, you know, Easter, Christmas, all that stuff, which is, you know, I'm just going to say it, which is already based on pre-existing pagan holidays. Mm-hmm. That's just true.
Yeah.
And
he even replaced a lot of the symbols using runes, ancient runes, even Odinism.
Yeah, he wanted to get people back into worshiping Odin.
Whoa, that's heavy.
Yeah, and This all leads to a very strange situation, of course, if you're one of the officers who has to do this and tell your kids, hey guys, we're just doing solstice now.
Yeah, sorry kids, no Christmas for you.
Yeah, it must have been a very weird household conversation for a lot of those people. So, Matt, why and when did he found the Annenalb?
He founded the Annenalb in 1935. Why, you ask?
Why did he do that?
He did it to discover, or really to create, a new mythology, a new history, and a folklore of Germany. He really wanted to reflect the Wolkish attitudes of the nationalist society.
I see. A politically correct version of history as they saw it.
Yeah, it would end up being horrifying.
Live Nation presents Concert Week.
From now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 summer shows.
That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage,
Alanis Morissette,
Cage the Elephant,
Celeste Barber,
Dierks Bentley,
Janet Jackson,
Meghan Trainor,
Peso Pluma,
Sean Paul,
Sum 41, and many more.
For way less.
Grab your tickets now through May 14th to see all of the artists you love all summer long.
For just $25 each.
Visit LiveNation.com/concertweek to buy now.
That's LiveNation.com/concertweek to buy now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode is brought to you by Terminix.
Terminix can't help you solve the world's biggest mysteries or take on alien life.
At least not the ones you're thinking of. But they can help take care of pesky invaders in your home.
Like the ants in your kitchen, the roaches under your sink, and the termites in the walls.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
No matter what type of pest it is, they can Terminix it fast with personalized pest care that puts you in control.
Their expertly trained technicians may not know true crime, but they know their local pest pressures.
And with customized plans tailored to your specific situation, you get everything you need to not just get pests out, but keep them out for good.
Between their speedy service, caring technicians, and over 95 years of experience, it's no mystery why they're trusted by homes and businesses everywhere.
So if you have a pest problem, don't stress it. Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com to book online today.
So, the Annenelb comes from a pretty obscure German word. It means something inherited from forefathers. And the official mission of this big department is to unearth new evidence of accomplishments and deeds of ancestors of the Germanic people using, here's the tricky part, science.
Yeah, exact scientific method. So in reality, the Annenelb was in the business of myth-making. At least, that's what we've found. Its prominent researchers devoted themselves to changing the truth, distorting the truth, and putting out these carefully tailored pieces of evidence that would support the ideas of Mein Führer, of Adolf Hitler. And he believed that only the Aryans, this fictional Nordic race of the tall, flaxen-haired men and women, blonde, from Northern Europe, that they were possessed with the genius required to create civilization.
Only them.
Only those people. And most modern Germans, he claimed, were descended from these ancient Aryans.
Now, this is interesting because you always hear, in the United States at least, various members of Congress saying, oh, you're politicizing the issue, or you're politicizing the issue, which are the only two congressional voices I can do. Guess who they are?
Let us know who you think they are.
Hint, they're not in the same party. But the point is that this is a very dangerous thing for science in general when someone needs a politically expedient answer, because it usually means something that supports their political aims. So no one is really going up to Adolf Hitler and saying, well, we think that civilization was probably not started by these people that you just decided was started by.
You cannot do that.
Right. But they can't do that and expect to keep their job at the very least. And again, as we have said, it is completely possible that entire civilizations have been lost to history. We just don't have proof that the beliefs that these people had were in any way true. So science had failed forever to uncover proof of this master race starting civilization in some Promethean way, and being ultimately responsible for all human culture. So the idea was, to Heinrich Himmler, that we can discover this stuff by, I don't know, creating it, guiding it, molding it a little bit. So that's why the NNAB researched historical archaeological evidence of this race that up to now did not have much proof of its existence, right?
Yeah, that's right. And Himmler essentially created the most well-funded, I like how you put this, most well-funded folklore department in history.
Billions. You know I love folklore, Matt.
Yeah.
I love that stuff. And folklore classes were some of my favorite classes in the history of my education. But folklore isn't, you know, it's not like engineering. It's it's not a very well-moneyed pursuit. So this became a million Deutschmark industry for the Germany at the time. And we have some list of things that they researched just to give you a bit of a sense of the depth and breadth of this.
Yes, and we're going to read these in English, correct?
Yeah. Okay. I'm not going to tackle that German. I feel like I've already accidentally been offensive enough.
Well, let's just go down the list then, shall we?
Sure.
We've first got Indo-Germanic Aryan language and cultural studies.
Mm-hmm. And then we also have Germanic cultural studies and landscape science.
We've got Indo-Germanic faith history.
Indo-Germanic historical jurisprudence.
We've got Indo-Germanic and German music.
Mm-hmm. And then Germanic German folklore.
Ethnic research and folklore.
Folk tales, fairy tales, and myths.
And even runes, alphabets, and symbols.
And that all goes under one branch of the NNARB, and that branch was social science, but there was also the natural science branch. And here's where we find hard evidence of Nazi occult practices.
Yeah, this is where you get into descriptive and applied natural history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and listen, because these start out a little bit innocuous, but you'll see what we're talking about soon. They also did biology,
entomology,
astronomy,
horse breeding,
botany,
plant genetics,
spelology, cave explorations,
scientific history.
That's kind of vague. Here we go. Applied geology,
geochronology,
nuclear physics,
folk medicine,
osteology,
survey of the so-called occult sciences.
What? Yeah, and they had so-called in there to make it seem a little bit more level-headed than it was, but they really did travel to Finland and meet people they thought were witches, and they really did enlist psychic experiments. And the last one that we would be remiss if we didn't mention was military scientific research. This became the Charnel House.
Yep.
This is a house of horrors where they started collecting skeletons of people they had killed, doing barometric pressure tests, and that was maybe one of the most frightening things, is that was one small part of this giant institution where, you know, in another part of Germany, people are researching horse breeding.
Yeah, man. And it's, gosh, this is just something I wanted to bring up. You mentioned Indiana Jones in our vlog, and, you know, Indy had to deal with Nazis several times.
Yeah, he kept running into them.
Well, it's interesting to note that these, quote, Nazi archaeologists, end quote, were the basis for Indy running into these people, because there really were expeditions that the Nazis took to discover all kinds of antiquities, antiques, and lost civilizations.
Oh, and now we're into our here's where it gets crazy mode.
Uh-oh. All right.
Because there's a lot of stuff that we actually don't know and may never know about Zan and Eb and about the actions or findings of the Nazi archaeologists. We know that they, we know that there were two and perhaps contradictory kind of purposes. We know that one, they were building mythology or propaganda, and they were aware of this, and they were doing it purposefully. And then we know, on the other hand, they really did believe in some of these things. They really did believe there was a holy grail they could find, mm-hmm. a spear of destiny, stuff like that. And if that's true, then we have to ask ourselves, did they find anything?
And how would we know?
Right. And then we go into other stuff like, do we know what actual magic the Nazis practice?
Because a lot of times you do that kind of stuff in a dark hole somewhere, yeah, with torches, and nobody can see you, and you don't really write down notes.
Yeah, occult means hidden.
Yeah.
And then there's the idea of the black sun. What is the relationship between this stuff, the science, this magic, this symbolism? What about the reports that some concentration camp survivors had of being forced to work underground near V2 rocket assemblies? You know, what about the reports of the guys in Operation Epsilon, mm-hmm. Where they were recorded for a while
as the farmhouse?
Yeah, in that farmhouse. And they talked about some stuff which makes us wonder, was it just like a handy code?
One of my favorite quotes from that, and I'm not going to have the exact quote, but when one of the guys remarked, wow, do you think they have microphones in here? Do you think they're listening to us? And the other guy said, well, no, they don't know all the Stasi techniques. Come on, this is Americans.
Mm-hmm. And there, for now, we're going to have to cut it short. There's a lot of stuff we didn't get to, but the rest may be a story for another day. Please check out our stuff about Nazi magic if you haven't yet. And let us know what else we should look at. Again, there's a great book on this, a very controversial book called The Brotherhood of the Bell, mm-hmm. which goes into some of the ideas about Vril. And there really is a flooded underground, or a flooded mine, right, Matt?
Yeah.
That no one's had access to for a while, and no one knows what's in there. So this does end on a little bit of a mystery.
And that's the best part about all of this. It's a mystery, but it's food. It's so much food for thought. And that's why I love these topics. And I know every once in a while we get comments on our YouTube page, hey, why are you covering Nazis? Ugh. Nazis, come on.
Right.
And again, like we said at the top, they're covered a lot in this subject area. But that fascination with the unknown is always going to be with this group. And I think that's why we're going to go back. And this is not the end for Nazis for us, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
In about a year, I'm sure we'll be back in Nazi territory. One other thing, just because we're talking about magic, I want to mention, and I don't usually plug other podcasts, and I know everybody knows about the WTF pod, but Mark Maron had the Amazing Jonathan on his show. Do you remember the Amazing Jonathan
mm-hmm.
from TV?
Mm-hmm.
Fairly famous magician back in the 90s, late 80s, 90s?
Yeah,
mid-90s.
Yeah.
I remember watching him on TV a lot. Anyway, it's a fascinating interview that's super heavy, and I would not expect it. I didn't expect it. Anyway, you should check that out.
Yes, and while you're checking stuff out on the internet, we want you guys to know you are welcome but not obligated to nominate or vote for us on the Streamy Awards. We would really appreciate it. We are a free show. Our sponsor, Illumination Global Unlimited, gives us a pretty free rein with this stuff, and we hope that we're covering things that you would like to hear. Speaking of that, real quick, before we get out, because the crew at Tech Stuff is going to kill us. Mm-hmm. We get too much over our time. I thought maybe we could just read some tweets.
All right, yeah. I would like to thank Freaky Fire, by the way, at Freaky Fire, our friend Heather, for nominating us already.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I just saw that. Mm-hmm. Heather just said, just nominated some faves for the Streamies, named us, along with Forward Thinking, Brain Stuff, and then Mom Stuff Podcast. That's Sminty, Stuff Mom Never Told You. So we're grateful. We really appreciate that. And let's see, another one. Joel wrote to us and said, what do you guys think is up with the Hellmouth Hole in Yamal, Siberia? Y-A-M-A-L. We're digging into this, but we wanted to let you guys know, too, so you don't have to wait for us to tell you. We want to hear more about what you think.
Is that the old giant hole or the new sinkhole slash whatever hole that just appeared in Siberia?
I think it's the one that just appeared.
Okay.
And then we had somebody say that we should sell T-shirts. Rachel said, you guys should sell T-shirts with Here's Where It Gets Crazy on them. So we retweeted and asked if people would, and we had some people say, yeah, try it out. We'll buy one. And then we had Victor say that we should talk more about sleeper agents. What do you think about that?
Most definitely.
And then we've got something that we'll go ahead and retweet right now, which is our friend Bjarti, and I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly, said they were found 10,000-year-old rock paintings depicting aliens and UFOs found in Chhattisgarh, India. And that's reported by the Times of India, so we're going to go ahead and retweet that right now. And let's see, I think that's enough for now because we ended with a retweet, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to get out of here. I think in some of our next episodes, we'll probably do some listener mail. What do you think, man?
Oh, most definitely. It's time again. And if you want to talk to us, find us on Facebook. Find us on Twitter. We are Conspiracy Stuff on both of those. Go to our website, stufftheydontwantyoutoknow.com. Look, I know I'm advertising our stuff to you, and you know what it is already. Unless you're a brand new listener, and even then you're like, man, why are they talking to me about this stuff? Well, guess what? Go, man. Just do it. It's awesome.
And that's the end of this classic episode. If you have any thoughts or questions about this episode, you can get into contact with us in a number of different ways. One of the best is to give us a call. Our number is 1-833-STDWYTK. If you don't want to do that, you can send us a good old-fashioned email. We are
conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Live Nation presents Concert Week.
From now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 summer shows.
That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage,
Alanis Morissette,
Cage the Elephant,
Celeste Barber,
Dierks Bentley,
Janet Jackson,
Meghan Trainor,
Peso Pluma,
Sean Paul,
Sum 41, and many more.
For way less.
Grab your tickets now through May 14th to see all of the artists you love all summer long. For just $25 each.
Visit LiveNation.com/concertweek to buy now.
That's LiveNation.com/concertweek to buy now.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Attention, true crime enthusiast, searching for a way to unwind after diving deep into the mysteries that keep you up at night? Look no further.
Introducing Lazarus Naturals, your trusted companion for CBD relief. With a commitment to transparency, Lazarus Naturals oversees every step from farm to doorstep, ensuring purity and quality you can trust.
Visit LazarusNaturals.com today and discover how CBD can help you decompress and recharge for your next investigation.
That's LazarusNaturals.com.
Lazarus Naturals. Your partner in unraveling the mysteries of true crime.
Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Dealing with pests can be a pain, but relax. Terminix can help.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
With over 95 years of experience, they have what it takes to take on any pest problem fast.
If your home or business has pests, don't stress it.
Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com.